VGMP.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Evans, joined by Mr. Rory Jocelyn.
Hello, everyone.
And returning to the show in an epic victory lap, it's Harry McElroy.
It's good to be back. Hello.
He was here with us last season.
I was.
Doing Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider 1.
And because he's a sucker for punishment, he's back to do Tomb Raider 2,
absolutely.
Baby.
Absolutely.
Tomb Raider 2, which I'd never seen before. I'd seen the first one before. I'd never seen the second one before.
Also, I want to make a slight apology. In the last time you were here, I kept calling you McIlroy.
As your McElroy.
Yeah.
You know what?
And you never pulled me up on it. And then I was talking to Jamie and he was like, why do you keep saying McIlroy?
So I, you know, that's all of school. Every teacher, McElroy, I go McElroy. And then they forget about it. And they just, on paper, it makes no sense. And then after a while, you just give up, don't you?
Right.
Yeah. So McIlroy's fine.
McIlroy. Yeah. But McElroy is correct, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Or James McElroy.
The modern digital font has destroyed my surname.
Oh, because of the I.
So not only that, so if you write my name, it's M. This is so boring for the podcast. Little C, okay, which is the Scottish Mac.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can't, on modern thing, you can't do little C. And then it's capital I, small L. And if you ever put capital I and small L in any font, in digital font, to this day, they're exactly the same. They were both,
yeah.
They're both aligned. So my name is now McElroy, okay, and like literally, so now people call me McElroy, and I'm like, you know what, I'll take it.
Please,
you know
what? Right. Please change it to that and always pronounce it that way.
McElroy, yeah. McElroy.
Yes. Also,
could be well.
Just to circle it back to this film, I reckon Gerard Butler would nail the pronunciation of McElroy.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
Yeah. So today we're talking about Lara Croft Tomb Raider: The Cradle of Life from 2003, starring Angelina Jolie and Gerard Butler.
Jerry B.
Well, as along with Chris Barry, is it? Is
yes,
the butler?
Chris Barry.
Jimon Huntsu's in it. Kieran Hines. I want to do a quick thing about Kieran Hines, actually. Do you know what I found funny watching this film?
Go on.
You know, both of the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raiders, they copied the same template for the villain.
Yes.
So the first one, it's Ian Glenn.
Yeah.
An Irish actor. Been in loads of things. Yeah. Ended up in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Hines. Irish actor. Been in a lot of things. Ended up in Game of Thrones. Ian Glenn is Jorah Mormont and Kieran Hines played Mance Rayder.
Yeah.
Very funny how they followed that template, indeed. I think.
Just want to add, Noah Taylor's also in this. The only reason that I reference him is that he played Bryce in the first film and he's back in this. So,
is that the computer nerd?
That's
Nerd. I was wondering who that was because he's in Vanilla Sky for
He's in
one
loads
scene.
Of stuff. I think he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Yes. So Noah Taylor, Chris Barry and Angelina Jolie are the only actors that make a return, but for obvious reasons because the villains in the first film all died.
Yeah, all died.
So
yeah,
Harry, have you seen this film before?
So I have. I saw this film at the cinema. Like with Tomb Raider 1, I went to see this at the cinema, and I'm going to come straight out with my opinions on this film. My love of Tomb Raider 1 is only equaled by my hatred and disappointment of Tomb Raider 2.
Okay.
I wish it didn't exist. Let's put it that way, because Tomb Raider 1 was a great film. I love Tomb Raider 1. It was really fun, and it's got charm to it, and it's got a good plot, and this film is dog shit.
Right, okay, it's going to be a really interesting episode because this film's better than Tomb Raider 1.
Get out of it!
It's not a good Tomb Raider movie.
You are incorrect,
In
sir.
Fact, there is a distinct lack of tomb raiding that happens in this movie.
Can I throw in a third opinion?
Go on.
I think both films are basically as good as each other.
Then none of them are great. None of them are great.
No.
The first one's fantastic.
To my surprise, I went into this thinking I'd hate it because I don't like action films.
Yeah.
And I went into this thinking I'm going to hate this. I'm going to be so fucking bored. And to be fair, maybe it's because I went in with low expectations. I didn't love it. Don't get me. This is what I call a one and done, which is I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it once, but I never need to
Whereas
see it
Whereas the
again.
First one, the rewatch value is
I don't
infinite.
Need to see the first one ever again.
I will say the first film, one of the big separations with the first film and this one, is that the first film felt like it was written for Tomb Raider. So they played the games, they've gone, right, there's a lot about Croft Mansion, so we'll put that in. You've got the butler. They've obviously invented Bryce, I think, unless he's in Tomb Raider 2 or 3.
Well, what's funny is
there's an equivalent.
The funny is he's not, but then they took that idea when they rebooted it with Tomb Raider Legend,
and
because
in that
she's got Chip and whatever his Chip name and, is.
Is it Dale?
God, we should look it up. No, it's not Dale.
But she's got a computer nerd, hasn't she, Raider Legend?
Yeah, she does. That's
Legend,
true.
I think Legend might be my favourite Tomb Raider
game. It's a great game.
Legend is one of the best in the series. That and Underworld, I thought, were great.
Yeah. I'm playing my way through it at the moment.
Which one?
Legends.
Legend.
But I'm stuck. There's a bit clunky game. And there are some levels
probably
that
probably aged a bit by now.
You get stuck.
So the first film felt like they went, right, so we'll put in Croft Mansion a lot. It feels like, from the off, it feels like, okay, we're doing a Tomb Raider movie. We're putting in the Tomb Raider memorable bits. Obviously, it's doing its own storyline. Mm. And by the end, it goes into its own world a little bit.
This one feels a bit like they took the script for Mission Impossible 2 and gave it a Tomb Raider.
Yeah, this feels like a spec script that they've shoehorned Lara Croft into.
Yeah.
We don't get... I think there might be one short scene, but basically we don't get anything in the mansion.
There's a scene at the beginning when she's training with Chris Barrett.
Yeah, side saddle.
But that's about it. Yeah. There's not really much there.
I won't lie. Do you know what the biggest... The thing this film has over the other one for me... And I will never say this sentence ever again about any other film. Gerard Butler. His character is actually really good in this film. Because I didn't know all the way through the film whether he was a good guy or a bad guy.
They play that well.
So there was a tension.
He's the only good thing in the film.
And to be fair, they did the right thing this time, which was rather than try and make Daniel Craig American, they just went, Gerard Butler, you just be you, mate.
Like, I did. I had a second.
Either that or he's doing an American accent and it's no different.
As soon as he opened his mouth, I went, is he? I need to remember. Is he? And he went, okay, he's Scottish.
Yeah, because that's the thing with Gerard Butler, isn't it? Gerard Butler, if you ever ask him to do any accent except his own, his performance is garbage. Because he spent, like you watch Geostorm or something like that.
What was the one where he was a criminal, but he's behind bars, but he's killing everyone.
Law-abiding citizen.
Law-abiding citizen. Yeah, it's American accent. That's just...
Yeah, he can't do them. Yeah. He can't. Just let the man be Scottish, for the love of God.
Yeah, they did it with Sean Connery, so just let him...
Yeah, I agree. This isn't a good Tomb Raider film, because there's nowhere near enough tombs in it.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it, really, but I wasn't bored at any point.
No.
And some of the action I quite liked.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just... So, this is, for me, and I was trying to analyse it yesterday, I was like, what is it about this film? They've boosted everything, so everything's really shiny in a really annoying way, so it doesn't feel like a Hollywood film. It feels like a B-movie. Mm. And it feels like a sort of John Woo, like Mission Impossible 2 style. Like, everything's a bit too shiny and quick. And they're not really... we don't really give a shit, because let's just do plot, exposition. And then over the top of that, they've got one of the worst soundtracks I have ever heard. If you listen to the music in Tomb Raider 2...
No, I wouldn't agree.
You're like, who made this? It's literally... And it's so juvenile. And I'm like...
There's no unity to it, is there? No. Like, a good soundtrack has a flow that goes through
it. But that's kind of similar to Mission Impossible 2, though.
Yeah, and this is it. There's something very John Woo Mission Impossible 2, like B-movie, like, let's make it quick, fast action and not really give a shit about stuff. And it wound me up, because I was like, if you just shot this properly, if you like... It seemed like they'd gone, oh, it's only a Tomb Raider movie. Whereas the first one, they didn't do that. They were like... Let's try and make quite a good film with good actors, and we'll try and make it look good, and we'll get Daniel Craig, and we'll write a reasonably good script. But this one, they really just were like, fuck it, it's a Tomb Raider.
I did read an interview with the director, John something, I forget his name now.
Let me find his name.
He is the same guy who did Speed. He's a Dutch filmmaker.
His name is
John de Bont or something. John de Bont.
He did Speed.
That
explains the aperture.
Stephen E. D'Souza was one of the writers, though.
Very he did Twister as well.
Well,
the films he makes in his native Dutch are quite well respected. They're usually dramas and art films.
Yes.
Is he a Verhoeven style person?
He's worked with Verhoeven loads.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
This film, he's openly said he actually had a really hard time making. So the shoot, they didn't rush the shoot. The shoot was 3.5 months.
It's a long time for a
shoot. But apparently the studio would not stop interfering the whole time. So he had and apparently Angelina Jolie's really difficult to work with, apparently.
I can imagine that. In this.
He said he liked her. He said, I don't hate her. I got on with her. But she was difficult to work with, apparently. I can see where you're coming from, Harry, because it's really stupid.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
The bad guy's evil lab lair, unless I misunderstood, is in a shopping mall in China.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he definitely was, yeah.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, he was hiding in plain sight, which could have been a cool thing.
Should we go to the South End Victoria now and see if there's an evil lab in the Absolutely. Top floor?
I'll be honest, we're a Tory stronghold. There probably is.
You're the head of a pharmaceutical industry. You need a big laboratory. A big evil laboratory with all the diseases.
Shopping malls
in.
Are quite big now and they're quite empty. Look at the Royals in South End. It's largely empty. You could fit a really good lab in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right?
Was it just me as well?
You've got three floors where blooming Debenhams used to be.
Did Angelina Jolie in this... have a real Essex girl look to
she,
her.
She oranged
like, the fake tan is way too is, much in it.
Yeah, and this one's all about the aperture. I'm not sure whether it's they turn the aperture up and it's kind of got more contrast in it or something like that. Or
it's
she,
very bright.
She, you know, she went full
Essex.
Gandhi.
Yeah,
that was my point. Actually, yeah. Sorry, I'm drunk now because I have to be drunk to get through this awful show. The show's awful. The films we talk about are
Ben Kingsley. Sorry,
yeah.
He's Indian though.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. The director is quite well respected in Denmark.
In Dutch.
Dutch. Where do Dutch people come from?
The Netherlands.
Holland.
Netherlands. Yes.
Can't say
Jesus
Holland,
Christ,
actually.
JB.
Holland's an area of the Netherlands.
Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Dutch?
No, Holland.
So the country's called the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Holland is an area of the Netherlands. So
oh,
it's
really?
Like England or Wales. It's like calling it England rather than Great Britain.
Okay.
But so it's actually called the Netherlands.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not called Holland.
I thought they were interchangeable. Yeah. Okay,
no,
I've
no,
learned
no.
something.
What about, where's Barrett?
Fuck off! Holland and Barrett,
yeah, oh,
that's
okay.
The joke he's making.
I was going to say, that's a pharmacy, right? What are we doing?
So, I looked up reviews for this film,
mm-hmm.
and what was hilarious was how divisive the reviews were. A lot of them were 10 out of 10s, and a lot of them were 1 out of 10s. There was no middle. There was
wow.
no, like, 5 out of 10s. And some people, what they really liked about the way it's directed is he hasn't done what's very popular in modern film. There's not a lot of shaky cam during the action scenes, which I did appreciate.
Yeah, I appreciated that.
But they've also pointed out that the result of that is a lot of the action scenes don't actually feel like they flow very well.
Yeah, it's just
and
like...
I can agree with that as well, especially the last scene. Well, last scene. The last big action scene, which is when she's... skipping to the end, when she's found the cradle of life
mm-hmm.
and Kieran Hines has got the gun and they're in... It's like an Escher type thing, isn't it?
Downy
where the portals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That scene is so badly cut together.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious is they did a similar scene in Nightmare on Elm Street 5 that works better.
Yeah, it was so... It was such a boring... It was a boring idea executed badly. So
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I agree. I do agree. And that is the problem. Kieran Hines is a good actor, but his character in this is paper thin.
Yeah, oh, he literally...
He's evil for the sake of being evil.
One of his first lines is, "That is the sound of a traitor dying."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like... Oh my god! Like that's a win. If you're a bad guy and that's your opening scene, and you get that line,
do you
want to
add that into worst lines?
Oh yes, please. well, no, actually, the opening line is the worst line of the film.
Okay. Let's start with the opening. Then.
So before we move on to that, I just want to add a couple of bits of trivia. That's okay. All it is. So Til Schweiger is in this film.
Yes, who we reviewed in Second Take Cinema in Atomic Blonde.
Yep, and we will review again on VGMP because
in an Uwe Boll film.
And we've also seen him.
It's not his fault, he's German, he can't
help it. Schweiger was the guy outside the 9/11 towers in Postal. And he will also be the lead actor in Uwe Boll's Far Cry. So, which is also with, what's his name, Nick Cage's brother. So we're going to get a double header of that.
What was his name? Something Coppola, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, it's a Coppola. Who possibly care? I've seen a clip of him in Far Cry. He's awful in that as well.
As bad as he is in Postal.
Easily.
Wow.
You know, Postal's got Nick Cage's brother in it. Have
has
I told
it
you
really?
That?
No.
You're
just...
the big fat guy.
Okay.
Who turns on the cult leader. It's Nicolas Cage's brother.
Well, I never.
And while it's a weird thing to point out, but because it is Tomb Raider, I will point this out because it's also in the trivia for this.
You're not going to talk about bra sizes again, are you?
There is no padding in this film. They decided to make her more realistic, so it's her natural boobs.
Wait, was she padded in the last one?
She was
one?
Padded in the first one. That's what I mentioned in that
they,
one.
They still weren't as big
weirdly
as
enough,
they are
when
in the
I
game.
First when I first uploaded that episode, I accidentally misrendered it. So it literally starts at the point where I'm talking about the bra size.
Oh.
And what's weird is in our Discord, somebody said, "Oh, it's weird that you start just talking about bra size. You don't introduce Harry at all." And I was like, "What?" And I listened to it and I was like, "Oh no, shit, I've misrendered it." So I re-uploaded it and fixed it within a day.
I've only heard that version, but I wish I heard the version.
But what's weird is that a lot of other people were like, oh, we didn't realise there was a problem. We just thought you were doing a bit and started on that.
To be fair, I'm in this show and I talk about pervy things a lot. Yeah, so.
But yeah, so in this, it's all Jolie.
So
for you to get your Jolies.
So the opening scene, there's some blokes on a boat who may as well be named Gonna Die in the Next 5 Minutes Gonna Die in the Next 5 Minutes Two.
Why didn't they just call him Gonna Dies? That's a much better name.
Yeah, like they might as well have been wearing red shirts from Star Trek.
Carmine. Like, Carmine A, B, C, and D. Yeah.
She enters the film on a jet ski, she in a bikini. I appreciated that scene.
What I find funny, though, she's such a twat. Because she literally goes alongside them and just sprays them for no reason. It's like, whoa, she's so cool. She sprays them she's an asshole.
For the worst line of the film, which is the opening line of the film. And the spraying was put in so that line works, and that's why it annoys me.
What was the line?
Hello, boys. You're all wet.
It's the worst line.
It's the worst opening lines of film.
That's the first line of the film as well, actually.
Her accent's garbage as well, isn't it? Still.
It's worse than the first one. It's not the same one, which is crazy. But also, she jet skis on.
She's worked on it.
Exactly. She's jet skis on, and there's two other jet skis. So there's three people.
Yeah.
And the other two jet skis just disappear. Mm. She comes in, she sprays them, she does a corkscrew. And I was like, why were there two more jet skis?
Were they?
Yeah.
It probably shows how good this film is that I only watched it last night and I've forgotten most of it.
I will say, I've watched this film before and I don't remember. I remember Gerard Butler was in it and I remember her looking like a chav, which we'll get to because I want to comment about her costume design in this. I think it's awful. So I remembered those little bits and I remember her riding on the top of the Great Wall of China. Little clips.
Good Lord.
Like terrible ideas, but little clips. But overall, I didn't remember the villain.
No.
I didn't remember the main plot. I didn't remember what they were after with Pandora's Box. I didn't remember any of that.
Yeah.
So what's kind of weird about this film is when I watched it the second time, it was like watching it the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in a way, it shows how bland the film is that you can't remember anything. But also, technically, it's a film you could watch for the first time multiple times. It's kind of like Dementia as a movie.
That should be the tagline, Dementia the movie.
But yeah, she flies with that. She also does a little corkscrew on the jet ski.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Is that possible? Did the stunt person do it?
Yes.
Or they did, so it is possible. I've only seen it done in Crash Bandicoot.
Right.
When he does it on the jet. That's the only time I've seen a corkscrew on a jet ski.
To be fair, Crash Bandicoot's based on real life.
Exactly, yeah. So
there are bandicoots in reality. A lot of this was done by actual stunt work, which is something I will give it props for.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible that was a wire stunt. I don't know enough about jet skiing and things like that. I assume it's possible, but then I don't know much about jet skiing and stunt work. So. Yeah.
This is a side note and it doesn't matter.
I call bullshit.
So you can cut it if you want. But you bought Crash Bandicoot. I've played way more Crash Bandicoot games than I should have done.
Because
the first few are really good. It kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I agree.
But I've played Crash of the Titans, which is not a great game. That's when they rebooted it and gave him tattoos up his arm.
Well, I never.
But there's one bit in it that I've always remembered because it's them calling themselves out where, you know, Engine, the character Engine with
the rocket out of his head. Yeah.
So you fight him as a boss, and when you've beaten him, he turns around to you and he just goes, "You stupid animal, you don't even look like a bandicoot." And I've always remembered that because he doesn't look anything like a bandicoot.
No, when you look up a bandicoot, you go, "Well, what happened there?"
To be fair, you think that's bad. You know Knuckles the Echidna from Sonic? Have you ever looked at what an actual echidna looks like?
No.
Not even close. They're four-headed penises.
Yes.
Well, I never.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were very eager to get that in when you were like, "Where's the fucking four-headed
penis?" When you say eager to get that in, I just...
You meant
the trivia, not...
No. He wants it in his hole. Anyway, moving on. So basically, they're in the sea. There's a bunch of other randoms there who are looting treasure. And Angelina Jolie's like, "I don't really care about that treasure because the real treasure is in this separate current, a city that sank or something." Was it Atlantis? Did they say the word Atlantis?
Alexander's Lunar Temple.
Lunar Temple.
Lot of this has to do with Alexander the Great, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, it's kind of tangential.
Yeah. But this is the only tomb we get in the whole film.
It is.
It's true.
So they go down and there's a tomb and there's a big statue.
And there's a shark scare. By the way, this is actually one of the first issues I have with the film.
We haven't gotten to the shark yet, though, have we?
No, he's going down.
That's when she's escaping the...
No, 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 she goes down. Oh. There's his first shark scare.
Oh, okay,
there's a shark on the way in. They set up the shark exists.
It's the shark that growls. In the
yes, and it was, but at first it growls out. Rawr. Deep Blue Sea do the shark that growls, actually, interestingly. Right at the end, there's a bit in Deep Blue Sea where it goes, rawr, and I went, what the fuck just happened? And they do it in this as well. The shark goes, rawr, which I feel like sharks do. I know they don't.
I'm a big scary
but every
shark.
Time I see a film, I go, yeah. But so Jack comes out, and so this is my first issue with the movie. So I am so scared of sharks.
Oh, really?
If I go swimming in the Thames estuary, which I do occasionally because we're in Southend, I will swim out for a bit. And then 9 times out of 10, I'll go, there's a fucking massive shark behind me. And I will panic swim back to the shore and go, and take off all my stuff and go, right, back to the house. And I go, why did I get in that water? I'm so scared.
You go
sharks.
Swimming in the estuary?
I do, yeah.
That's brave.
But this is it. This is a British river and I'm scared of giant great white sharks behind me. But this is the other thing. I also chase down shark movies. So 47 Meters Down, 47 Meters Down on Cage. I don't know if you've seen them. But if you are scared of sharks, you watch those films. Getting through it is a feat.
Okay.
I'm slightly obsessed. There's this like love, you know, it's like watching the thing that scares you kind of thing. But this jump scare of the shark, I was so little expecting it, and it made me so angry. It's like the film started and I went, oh! And like the phobia kicked off and I was just like, I'm so angry that they put a shark in there because it really does come out of the blue.
Yes.
Anyway, so then they go in and they're in the temple.
And there's an orb.
There's an orb, yeah, big shiny orb.
And the orb is the MacGuffin of the film.
The MacGuffin, yeah.
And she gets the orb, and a bunch of, unless I missed something, a bunch of Chinese mercenaries who were not set up before this point.
No, they just jump in at this point. Yeah.
Just kind of, they do the Apocalypse Now shot, don't they, where they just come out of the water.
Yeah. I did notice, when I was watching it, I was like, there's been no Chinese people, and all of a sudden, like, all the villains, here come the Chinese, I'm like... Is this meant to be making a political statement, or is it just by chance that they're all China?
It was very Blade 3. I think there's a moment in Blade 3 where there's two Chinese people in ninja outfits with the same goggles, and they kind of just appear outside the warehouse. You're not expecting it. There's no point. There's no start set out. It was exactly the same thing they did there.
Blade 3 is terrible.
Suddenly, China appears. Yeah.
Blade 2 is so bad. Blade 3, sorry, so bad. Blade 1 and 2 are good, but Blade 3...
Hang on, that might have been Blade 2.
Blade 3 is the one that that doesn't have much blade because it's got...
Blade 2's got ninjas. Blade 2's got the ninjas.
Yeah, right, okay. This film is banned in China.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this film is apparently banned in China because it shows that...
The Shaolin.
No. It kind of... Well, kind of. It's because the way that China is showcased, this is the reason given... is as if the Chinese government doesn't actually have much control and it's run by a lot of like insurgency groups instead.
Yeah.
And the Chinese government...
And then what you should know that the communist dictators have absolute control.
Yeah, there is no crime because the communist party are all in charge. Like, you guys are the big criminals.
I like to think it's because they agree with me and Tomb Raider 1 was so much better and this destroyed it, so that's why they banned it. And
You think China's banning things based on taste?
I think so, yeah. I think they went, we really like the first Tomb Raider. We're banning this movie. It's the only one that existed.
It probably doesn't help that it's literally suddenly evil China appears.
Yeah. So she loses the orb to the Chinese.
Yeah.
All of her crew die, which we saw coming.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Croft Manor.
Oh, hang on. We're missing...
Oh, she punches the shark!
Punch shark in the
face. The worst part in the entire film.
Yeah, this is punch shark in the face. Punch shark in the face. Shark... then immediately swims to the surface, which, as we all know, is what sharks do.
No.
So punch shark in the face, grab fin, shark swims to the surface. Like, no one's been angry shark swam to safety before.
No. But also, a shark's nose is incredibly well-armoured. So if you punch a shark in the nose, it doesn't really feel it.
Right.
If a shark is coming at you, you have to punch it in the eyeball.
Yeah.
Because it's a weak point, like it is with humans.
Under the water, because of the resistance, she wouldn't be able to generate enough force.
Yeah.
I mean, look, guys, I told you I'm terrified of sharks. You guys are preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
I know shark self-defense. I've studied it.
Picturing you like, what's his face? What actor is it?
Sean Bean.
No, whoever...
Well, he dies by everything else.
The guy in Jaws... who they hired deliberately to
James Dreyfuss.
Right, yeah.
No, not Richard Dreyfuss. It's the old, grizzled guy. Sorry. I'm picturing you like him now, like, shark's eyes like a doll's eyes.
Exactly, yeah. Just nails on chalkboard.
Do you just stand on Southend Beach with a harpoon gun waiting for one of those shifty bastards to turn up?
100%, yeah. I've...
You can't call them shifty bastards, that's sharkist.
So,
Harry McElroy, shark hunter.
The point still stands, though. Can't punch it on the nose.
No.
If you did, it wouldn't go, and shake its head. And then the next thing it definitely wouldn't do is swim to the surface.
Yeah.
There's no need for that shark to swim to the surface at that point.
No.
But that,
they're thinking of dolphins, but then it would have looked bad if she just decided to punch a dolphin.
Even though dolphins are actually evil in real life.
No, yeah, orcas are.
Dolphins bully sharks.
No, orcas do. Well, dolphins do sometimes. Yeah.
They also, do you know what dolphins do to puffer fish? Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah, this is great.
Oh,
yeah.
They make them inflate, don't they, and
they
use them as a ball.
Play
yeah.
volleyball with them.
Yeah.
Because apparently they release a toxin that gets the dolphins
yeah.
high.
Well, it's like cats and catnip and us with weed. Especially
no,
you, Jamie.
You with me, weed. I don't do weed.
I don't do
weed.
Weed's
a fool's drug.
I feel like they've telepathized calling them puffer fish as well for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. That wasn't us.
And dolphins are very clever. They know nomenclature.
Yeah. So now we're at Croft Manor, and yes. Lara Croft is beating up her poor butler.
To be
poor
fair,
Chris
it's Rimmer.
Barry.
He deserves it. He's Rimmer.
Oh, he deserved this. Is it Mira? Is she being unnecessarily mean to her staff in this one?
She
was much friendly to them in the last one.
She's upset because the two guys on a boat in Greece, who she knew for 5 minutes,
are dead.
Got killed. So she's going to beat up her best mate, who's the butler, who...
He's
She's
been there
for
her protector in the first one as well.
So, yeah. So, it's just like, they're dead, so I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah. This screams to me again of that whole thing where this felt like a spec script for something else.
Mm.
Because it feels like the lead in this, it may have been a man or it may have been a woman, but either way, the lead in this was meant to be a lot more of a shitty character that had a transformative arc. And then when they put Lara Croft in... They basically nullified the character's arc.
Yeah.
Because it feels like this character basically went, I've lost someone, well, I'm going to bully you instead because I don't really care about my butler and whatever. Or it probably wouldn't have been a butler because they don't really show him as a butler in this film either.
No.
So she's just beating up the friend she's got left.
Yeah.
And potentially there would have been a storyline that because of Gerard Butler, she comes to learn the value of those people.
Yeah.
And then Gerard Butler betrays her at the end. But that's been nixed because it's now have to be a Tomb Raider film.
Yeah. Then do MI5 turn up or do we get Kieran Hines' introduction first on the plane?
Actually, yeah, no, we missed the Kieran Hines introduction.
Oh, skip
that. Happens before, Lara.
My apologies.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Kieran Hines is on a plane with a bunch of rich folk and they're drinking water and he's infected one of the waters with Ebola on steroids,
Ebola
basically.
On steroids.
He doesn't he says Super Ebola or Ebola on steroids. I can't remember which one
yeah.
he says.
He doesn't say Ebola on steroids. That's me being...
Okay, then it must be Super...
He says 10 times more infective than Ebola.
Yeah.
No, I think he says it's Super Ebola.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm fairly... Now, I can't remember, but I kind of get... I remember him saying something like, it's a Super Ebola. I was like... And then he says it's highly contagious.
Yeah. Yes.
Harry, as someone who's seen this film before, you might be... Because this is the bit I didn't... Not that I want to admit that I didn't understand the complexities of Cradle of Life, but this is the bit I didn't understand. If the villain already has Super Ebola at his disposal and the cure for it, why does he need the Pandora box anyway?
It's a very good question. It's one of the many, many, many questions of this terrible, terrible film.
So there is no answer. It's just a plot hole.
Yeah, no, it's just this guy, you know, he's just after... you know, the next Super Ebola.
Yeah.
Like, he's already, I don't know, he's just stupidly evil. And he introduces himself as, like, evil. Like, no super pharmacist holder is like, I'm collecting diseases.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep collecting more diseases and more vaccines. As you said, you got disease and vaccines, mate. You're sorted.
Yeah.
You don't need more of them.
He may as well be Albert Wesker from Resident Evil. Yes, I'm collecting all of the viruses and now I've got Ouroboros. Fucking hell. Okay, so now we're back at Croft Manor and MI5 turn up. These actors were not good. Did anyone think one of them was Discount Alan Rickman?
Discount Alan Rickman, yeah. I was going to say Alan Rickman.
The MI5 agents who turn up at Croft Manor.
Oh, God, I barely remembered them, but
budget,
yeah, you're right.
One of them was Discount Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
So somewhere they were like, hey, Alan, do you want to be in this? Somebody was like, bitch, I'm doing Harry Potter 2. Chamber of Secrets. Yeah, it's still not a good film, but made more money than this did.
Yeah, but Cradle of Life is still a better film than that.
No, not the Chamber of Secrets. Chamber of Secrets is what, the
number
best
two?
Harry, yes, the best Harry Potter.
Brilliant Harry
but
Potter
it's by the same guy who made number one. Number Chris one Columbus is terrible.
Yeah, no, number one's Columbus, bad. Number two is good.
No, Chris Columbus made the two good Harry Potter films. No, all the ones afterwards are shit.
Pull their finger out on two.
I know one was garbage.
No, I like one.
Because I've seen one and it's awful.
I actually like one.
No, I
but
hated
one's
one.
A really bad book as well. She hadn't quite got her feet under the desk. She improved.
Well,
anywho, so they send her on this quest and she's like, well, I need this one guy. What was it? Was his name
Terry Sheridan?
Terry Sheridan,
yeah, which is a really cool name.
Yeah, it's only one man I need, and it's Terry. And they're like, hell no, and she's like, yes.
And they needed a better name for him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He should have been called something very Scottish sounding, like MacLeod.
I know that obviously this came out before, but unfortunately, the name Sheridan since Big Bang Theory.
Hmm, it's very uncool.
What? Who's called Sheridan in Big Bang Theory?
Oh, I'm thinking of Sheldon, aren't I?
You're thinking Sheldon?
It's the same name.
Fucking hell, you've had one drink, Rory, and you haven't even finished it.
I'm a lightweight.
Yeah,
I'm
clearly.
A cheap date, Jamie.
So there is to keep you around.
To be fair, Harry got what I was going
I was like, yeah, young Sheldon. Yeah, I'm no, I thought it was Sheldon. All right, cool.
She's like, I need this guy. And she gets him to agree to a ridiculous amount of stuff, don't she? Like, they're going to, like, exonerate him. We don't know what his crimes are exactly.
Yeah, clean slate.
Betraying her seems to be the big crime.
Clean slate, new identity, and $5 million US dollars.
Yeah, which is why at the end it doesn't really make any sense that he's
he betrays
extra greedy and he's like, well, I want more money.
Or she doesn't remind him. He's like, this could make us millions. He's like, you're getting $5 million anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the more we're talking about it, the more I actually don't like this film. It's the reverse of Existence.
Yeah, Existence is not a good film either.
But we enjoyed it more after talking about it.
Well, the discussion was at least made it seem better than it was watching it. Whereas this is having the opposite effect. I enjoyed watching this.
Yeah.
But the more we discuss it, it's like, yeah, that was also stupid. That was also dumb. You know, we're not even halfway through.
So she goes and gets him. She goes and gets him, and there's some sort of history between them. And then they bugger off to China, yeah?
Yes. Now, this is something I had a big problem with. Once they land in China and they get the two bikes, he says, well, we have to go down the back roads because I can't remember the name of the Chinese group. But that
they watch the road. Shangla?
Shangla? Shangla. Let's go with that.
That Chinese group will be watching all the roads, so we need to go through the back. She went, no, we'll take the main roads. And he's like, no, I just told you they'll be watching all the roads. And she goes, not the road I'm thinking of. And the next shot is her
riding China.
And I'm like, you're telling me they don't watch the Great Wall of China?
Also, how does she know this little Chinese lady? Do we not know that?
It's just inferred that she has a previous
her dad's ex. You know, it's just like the first one. Everyone knows her dad. Is there any connection in any country? Yeah, they knew her dad.
Get out of jail free card in the writing room. Oh, everyone knows her dad. But then he's not even on the Great Wall of China. He's riding the main road alongside it. So you're telling me that this Chinese group doesn't watch the Great Wall of China, but they also don't watch the road next to the Great Wall of China.
But then it turns out he's betrayed her and he's deliberately led them to her.
But she's robbing on the Great Wall of China.
But that scene is done. You know the scene where they all turn up and have her at gunpoint? I'll admit that's done very badly. Like, they all come out of nowhere, don't they?
And it's like, I know he was leading her on a goose chase, but I thought it was to delay her, and then all of a sudden they've been around them all along.
And he does, I'd rather she shoot me than they do.
I thought that was a cool enough line, to be fair.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he had the bollocks to go, I'd rather you kill me than them.
I haven't looked this up.
To be honest, we'd all rather die by hot lady.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I have no proof of this, except for the fact I am from West Country, and down in West Country, I sort of know my flora and fauna.
Right.
I'm 90% sure they are riding motorbikes through Devon. There are reeds and there are rocks. And they pick the odd bit of gorse that might look a little bit oriental, but I'm willing to put money on the fact they are down southwest.
You're not far off. You're actually not far off. Ah. I actually meant to bring this up. All the China scenes are actually shot in Wales. For the reason you've probably said about it being banned, China wouldn't let them film there.
Which is interesting, because maybe the Great Wall of China just does extend all the way to Wales, and we just didn't know. But the Chinese don't watch that bit.
I mean, give it a couple of years, I reckon the Welsh are going to go for independence, and then they will build a wall, and
the Great Wall of Wales.
The Great Wall of Wales, yeah.
Hadrian's Wall Part 2.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But no, we built Hadrian's Wall to keep the Scots out. Which is ironic now, because we're like, no, don't leave us.
I know. Okay, so they get taken prisoner. They go to like
the
Shaling. They go to some cavern somewhere.
Which I'm pretty sure is what you decorate your garden with, isn't it?
Let me have a look.
Shale.
Yeah.
Shale. Yeah, you're right.
Shaling. That's how you. That's the act of doing it.
You are right. So they're in like some cavern place, and again, I got confused here because there's a Chinese dude who's got the orb, but hasn't delivered it to Kieran Hines like he's supposed to have done.
Yeah.
And then Laura thinks she can make a deal with him, but no bueno.
Yeah, so she's got Gerard Butler out of prison to get into the Shaling so they can have a word with it, because she knows the Chinese guys have got the orb. But I don't know what her plan must be on that. She just goes and turns up and goes, I know you've got that. And I've got nothing to bargain with you whatsoever.
Yeah.
You're going to get loads of money off the bad guy. I can offer you absolutely fuck
I think she offers money from the British government to stop them doing their plan. I think that's what she's like, the British government can pay you more than the Shaling, or not than the big bad can. But she doesn't know how much they're being offered.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, how do you know that they can double it? Like, she's like, they can easily double it. And you're like, you don't know how much they've been offered. Like, also, you're spending taxpayers' money, Laura.
Do you know which bit we forgot? We forgot the bit where they deliberately explode a multi-million pound costing fighter jet.
Oh, when they land in China.
Yeah.
It's a stealth craft.
Yeah, those planes cost a fortune.
The Shaling will see the pod come in.
Yeah.
Oh, like, they won't find there'll be no pod left, which isn't true because it just...
Well, the chassis will still be there, just in pieces. You're telling me there'll be no debris?
Hey, no one found MH380.
But, I mean, that went under the water and got slammed into a...
Under the sea.
Slammed with an inch of its life.
Or was it a portal to another dimension?
You know what? They've hit Event Horizon, haven't they? But underwater.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome.
So, she ends up fighting the Chinese dude, and she beats him, and then kills him.
She defeats him. She defeats him. She gets an old rifle, like an old military rifle, and she uses, like, she does this weird, like, flipping nutcracker style military shit with it, doesn't she? Like, she flips it around. Hang on, where is it? That's it. At one point in the movie, Lara Croft attacks a bad guy using her sophisticated movements with an antique rifle. Her movements are taken from the Queen Anne salute used by the US Army drill team, which I find weird. The US Army has a Queen Anne salute?
Well, I never. Well, I guess probably we train them for the most part. I think we probably at some point.
When was Queen Anne? I don't remember a good point. Queen Anne.
Isn't Queen Anne the...
Unless Queen Anne isn't
Queen Anne.
Well, old. Maybe Civil War. No, we're talking about Civil War.
Yeah,
then
she was the 1700s, wasn't she?
Jesus Christ.
Wasn't she William of Orange's wife, Queen Anne?
And Queen of Britain. Let me have a look, because 1707.
Was she William of Orange's wife?
So Queen Anne was related to... Yeah, married the Dutch Protestant cousin.
William of Orange.
William of Orange.
Fuck yes! I know my history.
No, I'm wrong. So she had an elder sister, Mary, who married William of Orange. And married the Lutheran Prince George of Denmark.
I'm still giving you some points, Jamie. That was close
enough. No, I'll be honest, that is close.
William of Orange conquered Britain by sailing up the Thames. And whoever was king at that time... Britain was so fed up with him that they were just like, yeah, okay, hi, come on in.
He was also, his namesake was because he went past Essex and he went, that's a good look.
Yeah. Quick history fact that you can cut if you want. When Hitler invaded the Soviet Union, you know.
They called him Hitler of Orange?
No. He turned up in the Soviet Union and Stalin was obviously terrible as well. He was also a dictator.
He was worse in some ways.
Yeah, in some ways he was worse than Hitler.
His death count was higher.
Yeah. Hitler turns up with the Nazis and they start marching into the Soviet Union, and Stalin was so bad that all the Russian people, the Germans, would turn up in a village and go, we're looking for Moscow, please. And they'd be like, hey, you can't be worse than the current guy. It's that way. And they literally were just pointing him in the direction of Moscow. He got as close as 9 miles away from Moscow before because Stalin famously was bad for shooting the messenger if you gave him bad news. Wow. So no one dared tell him that Hitler had invaded. He was 9 miles away from Moscow before someone finally got the courage to go, Stalin, the Germans are invading. And at which point Stalin was like, at which point Stalin locked himself in his apartment for a fortnight and refused to come out.
Here's the thing as well, actually, like Hitler probably would have done, could have won that whole thing against Stalin.
He waited 2 weeks because of his horoscope.
The issue was that he left in spring. He should have had his men leave in winter so that they would have been travelling through spring and summer rather than hit, because they hit the Russian winter.
They got to the
border.
That killed them. They got to the border of Russia.
Yeah.
And Hitler waited, because Hitler was famously superstitious.
Right.
But he literally waited because his horoscope said something like, now's not the time to take a risk. So they waited.
His magic eight ball.
Yeah. So they waited 2 more weeks until it said something to the effect of, go for it or something like that.
I always really like the Eddie Izzard quote, which is, Hitler never played risk as a kid. He got 10 extra players every round. He can never hold that Eastern Bloc. Oh.
See you after the break.
So then she's going to spare this guy, but he tries to shoot her, doesn't he? So
so she's telling him. So something that specifically needs to be mentioned is she's told Gerald Butler that he can't kill anyone. He can't use a gun. He's not allowed guns because she doesn't trust him.
She's just shanking people left, right, and centre.
Yeah, so she's kind of killing people with Rex Band. This is the one time in the film, actually, that she shows what I'd expect from Lara Croft in some sort of, like, I don't want to kill. Just let me go and you'll be fine. And he's the one who screws it up.
Which was my problem with the first film as well, which is she's way bloodthirsty in these films.
This is the one time they actually show her not being overtly bloodthirsty. Other than that, she then just starts mowing people down with reckless abandon again. It's the one good scene in terms of that, but actually I hated the whole Queen Anne military thing.
And the terracotta army, and I just thought all of it was ill thought out.
Her movements, using, like, because she's in the middle of a fight, she grabs the gun, she stands like an old stiff soldier, and then starts spinning this rifle around like she's doing a parade.
Fight choreographer Jesus pants. It's
British. It's very British. It's not actually British because it's the US Army's salute to Queen Anne. And number two, that it's a parade thing. You wouldn't use that in the middle of an actual fight.
Yeah. Then they rappel, don't they, down the side of the
cliff. Is the bit that I got confused, because I missed the point where she told Gerard he was the only one who couldn't shoot. So I thought she was saying she couldn't shoot anyone. And then all of a sudden she tells him, okay, I'm guessing you, like, basically, yes, we can shoot now. But basically, she was giving Gerard the...
They slide down like fucking Spider-Man, don't they? Shooting
people while they go down. It's weird that these people who are standing still can't shoot the broadside of a bar, but while they're rappelling, they're getting like one-hit kills.
Stormtroopers, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then they go to a Chinese city of some kind that I read in the script was supposed to be actual Shanghai, but then Shanghai wouldn't let them film there and didn't want them to use the name Shanghai.
So
apparently
it was Cardiff.
So it is Wales, and they never say the name. They never say the name Shanghai, do they?
No. Please tell me they filmed in the longest named city in the world.
I wish I knew.
They're Glenmiddingham.
I know it's Dens and Gogogog.
Glen McLaughlin.
My mum was up this weekend. She did it for me, and I was like, it's amazing. How do you know it? And she's just like, you can learn it, but it's an innately Welsh thing.
Yeah. It's like the word anti-disestablishmentarianism, which is the longest word in the English dictionary other than supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Which you just said wrong.
So it's not... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know the second one. I know anti-disestablishmentarianism very well.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Expialidocious. There we go. See, I watched the film, but I could never pick up that word.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
No, anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Anti-disestablishment. Aryan.
I always heard it was anti-disestablishment interiorism.
No, anti-disestablishment.
That's how we say it in Mansfield. Mansfield's always right.
Mansfield.
Soft southerners.
Yes, that scientific centre of excellence, yeah. Mansfield.
Yeah. With an inbreeding rate of 30%, you're damn right. Life center, finds a way.
We're keeping the intelligence in.
That's where the etymology starts.
So they get to this city. Jared Butler rings some unnamed contact to pre-plan an escape, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They go in, and this is where there's the evil lab in the middle of a shopping mall.
To be honest.
We thought Resident Evil was far-fetched when there was a lab beneath a mansion.
Yeah.
So he turned up, we need a laboratory. There's no laboratories in Wales, mate. You'll have to go, we've got a pharmacy.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's
the Welsh equivalent.
That's where COVID was from.
They go in, and there's a bit of disagreement between Laura and him, and then Till Schweiger turns up, yep, and some other unnamed long-haired guy who's clearly going to die. And I actually didn't mind this as like a gunplay bit.
Yeah.
Where she uses the reflection in the ceiling to see where Till Schweiger is.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Basically using environmental clues to, you know,
but
not
still
die.
Why is this in my Tomb Raider movie?
It's just, you're just shooting, then everyone's just shooting each other. It's just like, come on.
But she did that in the first one, to be fair.
We're half an hour in and I'm not in a tomb. Why am I not in a tomb?
She's been in a tomb.
One tomb.
Yeah. She raided it.
And sorry, so...
And then she punched a shark.
She's got the orb at this point, isn't she?
Yes. Well, she's going to get it, and then Kieran Hines turns up, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and he's all like, Hardy. She does get it, you're right. She gets it, but he gets her little fucking Dragon Ball Z-style communicator thing.
Yeah.
It's over 9,000! this is all going... So then she turns up at this... They skydive.
Yes, they do.
With the wombat suits, yep, don't they?
Which were legit stunt... Well, that was a legit stunt made. That wasn't wire work or anything else.
Yeah,
those
don't
were legit
care.
Flying suits. And like a lot of her stunts in this film, the person who was playing Laura in this shot was a man.
Well, I never.
A lot of the stunt work for Laura in this film was done by a guy.
Usually is. You know, have you ever seen The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
Every time you see Catwoman riding the bat bike thing, that's a bloke.
We went over this.
When you get that nice shot of her ass, that's a bloke's ass. Congratulations, you're all gay. You're all sat there thinking, oh yeah, Anne Hathaway's ass. Yeah. Nope, it's a bloke.
And happened to wait.
It's lucky that the only person who was qualified to ride the bat bike wasn't a big fat guy.
Yeah.
Come on, Anne Hathaway, with your 70-pound ass.
So they land on this boat. And we then get seems like it's going to be a sex scene. I'm not going to lie. I perked up a little in this scene. I was a bit like, oh, hello.
To be fair,
Angelina Jolie's in a towel. Jared Butler's shirtless. I'm good.
There is heat in this scene.
There is. They have chemistry.
This is probably one of the best heat scenes we've seen in a VGMP movie. Because a lot of sex scenes in these movies are either very obviously exploitative, or the actors just can't pull it off.
Yeah.
And okay, so this is, as much as I hate the film, the only thing they do well is Jared Butler and Lara Croft had chemistry or have chemistry.
Yeah.
And they do it in the China scene, they kind of allude to it, and they have a little bit, and he goes, you used to find me charming, and she goes, yeah, and he goes, well, I am charming. And there's a little look between them, and you go, okay, you're acting this in a reasonable manner. And then this scene again, you're like, okay, I believe that you two have history. Yeah. And it's the only believable thing in the entire movie.
I didn't see it coming when she handcuffs him and she turns on him.
No.
I didn't see it coming, I'll admit.
That's true.
Yeah.
So she leaves him. And then, again, and I know the answer's going to be her dad, this random Chinese family whose house she invades and just starts using that. Like, what? She goes in, they don't speak English, she don't speak Chinese, and she's just sort of like, I use this computer. You give me your chewing gum. Thank you very much.
Crazy orb technology and like all sorts. It's bloody mental.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, do you know these people? What's happening here?
Yeah. Either that or they're just letting her take their stuff. But here's the thing. That was a missed opportunity. Because if she doesn't know them and they can't speak English, it should have been a case of, they're like, saying in Chinese, who the hell are you? And she's just like pointing herself, I can take this. And it should have just been the husband going, yeah, Yeah. And the wife is like, what are you doing? Baby. Yeah. And
I mean,
like, yeah, take the chair. Yeah.
So actually, this is something we've not brought up yet. Okay. And one of my biggest issues with Tomb Raider 2 is I think you're right, Rory, that they took a script that wasn't this film and they were like, oh, yeah, this will kind of work.
Yeah.
But then they also sort of superlaid on top of that, let's do the same thing that the first movie did in as many ways as possible.
Yeah.
And if you kind of lay it out, right, like they find out about one thing they need to get to the next thing. They go there, they get that thing, and then they get to the next bit. And then there's an in-betweeny bit, where there's a calm bit, where the bad guys are over there and the good guys are over there, and she's got the thing,
yep.
And she works out the next bit. And this, for me, is the bit when she's in Thailand, and she goes and uses the, have you got a satellite phone?
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit wet and blah, 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 and all of that. And it's exactly the same scene superimposed, exactly the same point in the movie.
Yeah, she goes up to some random person and is just like, can I use satellite phone, please?
Yeah, and it's exactly the same. Is if you like, I swear, I have not looked it up. If you lined up the minutes of the both movies,
you reckon they'd be at the same time?
I reckon they'd be at the same sort of area in the film, and they've just been like, well, it worked in the first movie. Like, what do we do next?
But
like,
yeah, we can't move the story on until this happens. How do we do it?
And then and then the second person with no imagination went, how do we make it more interesting? Oh, she doesn't actually know the person or ask permission. She just does it in their living room anyway.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of stuff in this, and especially when we get to the next bit, which we'll talk about in a minute, that's the. That bit is from the first movie when she goes into the only tomb in the movie and the monsters start coming out. And I was like, you just did this before. But there's so much of like, okay, you did this before, but you did it better before. So why are you doing it again?
Yeah.
And why even make the same movie?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've already done it. But anyway, she does the crazy thing in the living room. We see all the world and Africa. It's just like snapshots of loads of country, like, animals. Why? Yeah. What's with the...
Yeah.
The orb shows a bunch of animals.
This is we're going to Africa next.
Yes.
That's literally what this is.
David Attenborough footage of animals come out of the orb.
You know, it'd be much better. Just put David Attenborough's fucking narration in. Like, the wild leopard does
here
this.
We have.
And then talking about her. So like, and the wild cougar goes after the young Scotsman.
Isn't it magnificent? Angelina Jolie.
She's not older than...
Fantastic.
No, I'm only joking. Yeah.
But
so then we go
I'm not
to
saying
Africa.
She's actually
yeah,
old.
Then we go to Africa,
and this is where Jimon Hunsu turns up.
Yes, yeah. Honestly, I honestly believe that the only reason they put him in this movie is because they have a scene where she needs to talk to a tribe, and they thought it was a bad look having a white person go, "Tell me how to use your shit, tribe." So yeah. They brought in a black character
to be
because
the translator.
Because after this scene, he becomes basically irrelevant to the whole story.
Yeah.
And after the scene where the demon things come out of, like, you were talking about where Tilda Swinton dies. After that scene, he basically disappears from the film. And he's only in that...
fuck, he does!
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's only in that scene so they can go, we're going to kill this guy if you don't do what we say.
Yeah.
And that's his only job after that point. So it's literally, we brought in this black guy so we could have Lara speak to a black tribe, but it not look racist.
Yeah.
Skipping back, like, Kieran Hines kidnaps the butler and the tech guy, doesn't he?
Yes.
And that never comes to anything.
No, they...
Except a silly joke at the end where it turns out they're getting married to the tribe's women.
No, the tribe women are making them marry each other.
Oh!
So, yeah, they're doing it that Chris Barry's...
Oh, well, that's better then.
Yeah, Chris Barry's the
so
wife.
So homophobic
and...
as well as racist. Great, yeah.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just layer it on.
I mean, not to be fair, but, like, yeah, that's kind of gay panic thing again, because it's like, you're marrying each other. It's like, oh no, quick, help us, Lara, we're not gay.
I'll admit, I didn't get that. I thought they were marrying tribes women.
Yeah, no, they were marrying each other.
Right.
Because if you look at the design on them, Chris Barry's makeup is done like the women in the tribe. And the other guy, Bryce, is done like the men in the tribe.
Yeah, knowledge of African tribes.
I just looked at the visuals.
I just looked at the visuals.
I don't even know if this tribe is a real thing. Like, this
of course
not.
It's not. Of course it isn't.
But and she mentions you're marrying each other.
Anyway.
But anyway.
So they go to search for the Cave of Pandora or whatever.
The Cradle of Life. But hang on. Just to rewind a little bit. The Pandora's box originally was Egyptian, correct? That's what she mentioned at the top.
Greek.
No. In she says that's the Sunday school version. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, but the actual version is that it was found by a pharaoh, and that was the seventh. She tries to allude that it was the seven plagues of Egypt. That
something
was kind
like
of the
that.
Deal. Like this right. Wiped out the Egyptian army. Mm. So he took it and hid it somewhere. Yeah. Alexander the Great found it in India. And then he gets a plague on him. So then he hides it in Africa. Now,
I'm pretty sure in real life he never went to India as well.
And you know, I did look this up because I was like, are they making all of this up? Because this sounds really, really, really far-fetched. But he did go to India, but there was never any plagues in India. Right. He just kind of walked out of there again. But, I mean, none of this makes any sense. First of all, why did the Pharaoh take it to India? That makes no sense. And then why did the Indians then take it to Africa? That makes no sense. But then also, like, and then take it back, because that's technically, Egypt is Africa.
And
so
also,
it's going back again.
If you're going to involve Egypt in the mythology, why do I not get a single scene in a Pharaoh's tomb?
Also, like, she didn't even go visit anything or check anything out or go to Egypt for a scene.
Why is there no mummies? I want a mummy.
I can explain why. Because if you remember in the first film, she mentioned something about pyramids, so boring or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like you're literally a tomb, right? That's your job.
We should probably take a minute.
Too much sand in the cracks.
Yes.
Yeah. We've skipped over this, so we should probably explain to the audience what's in the box. What's in the box?
Because
this, I know obviously this film came later.
Better plot twist.
But
better plot twist if it was Brad Pitt's head.
Yeah. I know this film came afterwards. But you know when she's talking about there was life and then the box has anti-life in it? And she goes, perfectly balanced. And I couldn't help but think about Thanos when he's like, perfectly balanced as all things must be.
God. But it's also in that speech that she mentions there's only two genders.
So she then, so this is a bit that hasn't aged well. Where she goes, everything comes in pairs, night and day, good and evil, men and women. And I was just sat there going, oh, this is an old film.
Cancelled. Angelina Jolie's out, guys.
Not allowed to say that anymore.
That is out. Yeah, forget all the kind of inherent misogyny
even,
in the movie.
Even of its time, like forgetting the fact that idea on gender stuff
has changed.
Even of the time, there are still a lot of species on Earth that are single-gendered. Jellyfish, things like that. There are no genders. So
they reproduce asexually.
Yeah.
Like Godzilla. Tied it back.
We've just done second take and we've just talked about Godzilla.
There we go. Like,
yeah, they'll know. They'll
by the
know.
Way, check well, out they'll... Second Take Cinema, by the way.
Well done, Harry. See, another reason why I should fire him and replace him with you.
Don't fire him. Just invite
I'll
me
I'll put
more.
You on the posters. We'll bring
just
more
invite
women
me
into
more.
The audience.
It's fine.
You said I'm not sexy enough to bring up.
So no, you bring in a good point.
Even then, the man and woman thing isn't even what about all the non-binary or whatever. It's like there are asexual beings already well known about by 2002. So the man, the male female thing doesn't work when she's talking about all life.
Yeah,
it doesn't specify mammal.
True.
It's all life comes from this box as well, and it now only contains anti-life.
So, anti-life, Pandora's box. I mean, as a premise in Greek mythology, pain, suffering, evil. The bit that confused me isn't in the Greek mythology that she did open that box out of curiosity. They told her not to. Mm. She did. And because she opened it, all of the pain and suffering and misery that we know does exist. So that box is already opened.
Yeah.
How's it then got closed, buried, put somewhere?
That's the Sunday school version.
Right. No, but hang on. Now it's just plagues.
Yeah.
So forget all the pain and misery. We're stuck with the pain and misery. But now when you closed it again, was it like misery didn't come out? And it wasn't it pixies that came out? Generally, like, it wasn't it stuff that I think they were like...
It was demons. It was actual demons.
Demons or pixies or fairies like
that. What, in the actual mythology?
Yeah, in the actual mythology. They were like little tiny things of misery and pain, and they went out and they like went around doing stuff.
She must have opened it, and that's where COVID came from.
Oh, there we go. This will do. They ended up in a wet market. Yeah. In some bat soup.
No. Well, the wet market was a supermarket.
Yeah, there you go. Ah.
In the middle of a mall.
In Cardiff. So they blamed it. They blamed it on the Chinese.
We blamed it on China, but it was really Wales.
Damn you, Wales.
But so I'm really lost in this hiding of it in Africa.
Yeah.
And it being an actual box. And it being closed again and hidden away. Like... if it's been opened twice, what else is in there? Why does it every time you open it, like just something a plague comes like a little out, plague yeah. comes
you
out.
You know what, Harry? You've actually convinced me the first one is a better movie.
Oh, it's so much better. All right. First one's fantastic. It's got a plot, it's got an idea, it's got time travel, it's the thing of time. They want to move time. They play with time perfectly, all right? You want to control time, you get the triangles together. It's a fantastic movie.
I don't really like either of them.
You're wrong.
But if you took Gerard Butler's character in this, which is the only real plus in this film, swap him out for the Daniel Craig character.
And the bad American accent.
You'd have a really good first Tomb Raider
film. I'll give you that. Yes.
Yeah, I think if you... Yeah, Gerard Butler in the first Tomb Raider film is the best Tomb Raider movie possible so far out of the three that have been released.
Brilliant. Okay, so they're in Creative Life, Africa. The people turn up.
The bad guys turn up and the Africans are trying to fight them, the African tribesmen.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie's like, no, no, don't do that because, you know, they're fighting with, like, spears and shit and these mercenaries have all got guns.
Yeah. Zulu.
And somehow they end up going off on a little walk into the forest. I did like the way the forest looked. You know, it's all like, you know, when they get into the dark bit and it's all like the twisted trees.
It was cool.
That was cool.
That was cool.
But then you get some monsters that we get no introduction for and they...
We never see them again either.
They work like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park where they see by motion.
Yeah, or Doctor Who reference, Weeping Angels.
Hey.
Yep.
I'm definitely invited back now, right?
You are.
So
they did the Pandora box
also
on Doctor Who as well.
They looked remarkably... There's a... I think it's a Gene Hackman film. No, it's not a Gene Hackman. It's a budget Gene Hackman film called Time Machine. And in this budget team Gene Hackman film, it's not Gene Hackman, it's a guy who looks like Gene Hackman. And it's a budget movie.
This is getting a much harder film identify.
There's a film called Time Machine, okay? Where
it's called
where
Time Machine.
Yes, and some sort of circus man gets sent back. He makes a time machine accidentally. And it's like Stargate SG-1. He goes back and there's some tribes of people who are fighting against some monsters. Right. Now, these monsters look like sort of gorilla beings. They've kind of got blue fur. They've got big sharp teeth and they've got sort of like wide faces. They have ripped off this bad budget movie called Time Machine, and they've created...
Is this a 2002 movie with Guy Pearce?
I was going to say, you're not thinking about the Guy Pearce film,
I am.
You?
I think I am. Is that called Time Machine?
Yeah, they don't look anything like these monsters.
I swear to God they do.
Jeffrey Irons plays one of them. No, mate.
They're like sort of weird gorilla-y things, blue, and they've got like eyes and big teeth.
Yeah, but they don't look like these things. These things look more like Doom 3.
Are you looking at this?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is the Guy Pearce one.
And then these shadow monsters look exactly like that. They're like weird monkey like.
No, see, they've got body wise they're quite similar, but the heads on the ones
right,
in this film, from what I remember,
get a picture up. get a picture and put them next to each other.
I've only got a mobile phone. I can't.
I think we should always do this show drunk from now on.
You do anyway. What I remember of the monsters in this is that they have a big head that is just a big mouth with no other features.
Okay, yeah, so the other things have eyes. Yeah. But apart from that, they're very similar. No,
I mean, they've got quite small mouths in comparison as well.
I'm going to backtrack.
However, while I was looking for these...
I don't remember the Guy Pearce.
I did find
We keep making you backtrack on this show, don't we?
No, we did this to you.
We did this to you last time when you were like... This bit's from the game, and then afterwards you messaged me and you were like, it's not from the game.
Oh my God, I got it so wrong. But it was from Tomb Raider Revelations and the planet things were there, but it was a very small reference. And I was like, oh, it's definitely Tomb Raider 3 in like the second episode. And then the other guys in there, none of that was true.
Yeah. I did find this wonderful still that just made me happy, which is a guy at one of the promotional events who happened to be wearing a big pink fluffy hat for some reason.
Who is that?
His name is Damien Earl Matthias, and he's just wearing a big fluffy purple and pink hat, like a bucket hat.
Like Jamiroquai. So,
yes.
Monsters turn up, monsters sense motion, they kill Till Schweiger, they basically kill everyone except Kieran Hines and Lara. Yeah.
Oh, and
G-Mon Huntsu.
Yeah.
And Jerry B.
A Gerard Butler, but he's not really there yet.
He's
is
not
he?
There yet.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
G-Mon Huntsu kind of disappears now.
Yep, we never see him again, I don't think.
This is the bit that made me laugh. Is she puts the orb in the little statue thing, the hole, and this little whirlpool opens in the sand. And Kieran Hines just... I like Kieran Hines. But the way he jumps into this, he just does like a little hop. like a little dainty little hop into a fucking whirlpool of sand. And I was like, dude.
Dude's never done screen combat school. He doesn't know how to cool doing. He doesn't know how to look cool.
No.
Hopping. Doing a thing.
So they end up in a cavern And in the cavern, they're trying to do an M.C. Escher thing, which doesn't really work.
They're in an Escher. They're in a cave, Escher.
Yeah, there's loads of holes, isn't there, in the cave?
Yeah.
And they're essentially portals. We never see the portals, but if you go through one, you come out to another random one. And in the centre is a black pool, which we're told is... that's Pandora's acid tears. Because when she opened the box, she cried black acid.
She was an alien.
Now, first of all, did anyone did anyone else hear that and go, well, that's fucking dumb?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
Long list of things that are dumb in this movie.
Yeah. The box is floating in the middle. Now, again, I like Kieran Hines, but this is a... compared to Ian Glen in the first film, this is a fairly weak, like, final villain battle. He's kind of just like, okay, well, since a woman opened the box last time, it's only fitting a woman does it again.
Yeah,
open
you,
the box, bitch. And she's
first.
Like, I can't reach it. So he, like, holds her out on her jacket, doesn't he? Like, she's holding her jacket.
The jacket, yeah.
And her ponytail burns in the acid.
Yep.
And he's just like, well, go on. And then she fights back. Which, to be fair, that's not impressive either. He's a middle-aged fucking man. You're fit as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, give me a villain who can realistically beat her.
Yeah, because she's being held over the goop.
Yeah.
The way she pulls...
Careful, Gwyneth Paltrow will sue you.
Good point. The way she pulls herself back to then sweep him makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way she would have, like...
He could just let go.
Yeah. If he just let go, she'd just drop in the acid and then he'd have another try anyway.
And then... this next bit where she's like trying to get the drop on him, I'm going to make a prediction here, which is I think by this point in the film, probably way before this bit, Kieran Hines had realised that he had been cast in something that was bollocks and had just stopped putting effort in, because he's like just holding the gun casually by his side and he's like, where are you, Lara Croft? Like, this is the final battle with him. And again, this is done better in Nightmare on Elm Street 5. Like, I'm sorry, your film that is made for hundreds of millions of dollars should not look worse than Nightmare on Elm Street 5, which was made in 1989.
They'd all given up. If there's a feeling, you can feel it through the screen, they'd all given
up. Except for Gerard Butler, to be fair.
Whose story arc is still shining strong.
Yeah, he's the only one still literally toeing the line, and I feel gives a consistently good performance.
Yeah.
So they drop, Kieran Hines gets dropped in the acid, like we didn't see that come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get a gratuitous scene where he is badly CGI'd, melting.
Yeah, which to be fair,
I didn't expect them to do,
so I give them props.
Oh, I 100%. I
didn't expect them to see his skin melting off
and
stuff. Yeah,
I 100% knew they were going to do that, and I knew it was going to be CGI.
As
soon as he fell in, I was like, oh... 2003, this ain't going to have aged well, and it hasn't.
No. I gave him props for doing it.
Yeah.
Just, unfortunately, it could have been done a lot better. It would have been better with props rather than CGI.
We've also, we're talking about Tomb Raider 1. The goop holding up the triangle liquid in Tomb Raider 1, liquid metal or whatever it was. You guys gave a lot of shit for that liquid metal, and you're like, that was terrible CGI. In this case, they've used the same goop.
Yeah, it's no better.
Yeah.
And... it's done no better and applied worse.
Yeah, I agree.
So again, just stealing from the first one, but doing it worse.
Yeah. Gerard Butler turns up, and I do. You know what? I'm gonna hold my hands up. I like this bit. I like the conclusion of Gerard Butler's arc.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that, as you said, Harry, why does she not just turn around to him and go, "Dude, you've got $5 million
and a clean slate. And if you shoot me now, you don't get the clean slate. And you don't get the $5 million. You get this box.
Yeah, which you probably can't sell.
Which you can't sell because this is the only guy who's gonna buy it. And he's just died.
Yeah.
What doesn't work for me is after she kills him. Spoiler. You then get a bit where she's tempted to open the box, and she sort of opens it. That needs to come first.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, that bit needs to come first.
Yeah.
Because she's just made this whole big moral stand
that you can't
about
open
leaving
the box,
the box where it is.
Good point. Yeah.
And then she's actually killed potentially her lover because you can't open this box, and she's like, maybe I should open the box.
Actually,
though, I will say like that. tension where he's like, I'm sorry, Lara, I can't. And then he goes to kill her. And then you hear the gunshot and he drops. It's very, it's done to death nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, reveal of you hear the gunshot, but then it's shown later on that actually she's the one who fired, not him. But I thought it was well done for the, even though it's cheesy and overused, I thought it was well done.
Do you know what's so funny? It's the same year, I'm sure it's the same year, 2003, the film Underworld came out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've ever seen Underworld.
I have.
But the ending of Underworld is Bill Nighy and Kate Beckinsale run at each other with their swords, and they both sort of jump past each other and land. And you don't know who's killed who.
Bro, Seven Samurai.
Until it's, Bill Nighy's, like, head falls off. And you're like, shit.
Yeah, it's based on Seven Samurai. It's been emulated in a lot of films since. Like, yeah, as you say, Kill Bill, which, I'll be honest, is nowhere near as good a film as Seven Samurai.
I've got to admit, I'm not a big Kill Bill fan.
Oh, I love Kill Bill.
Nah, Kill Bill.
I didn't hate it.
It's a great romp.
But I also didn't love it.
It's on the level of Tomb Raider 2.
We'll do it another time. Whoa, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
But we'll do that on STC sometime. We'll do
Kill Bill. It's not about as
much. Oh, get me in for Kill Bill.
You want to do Kill Bill?
Yeah, I'll
Part one and two? You can't do one without the other, Harry.
I'll get me in for both.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you got to commit.
Go on.
So, Kieran Hines is dead. Gerard Butler dies. She looks at the box, which we didn't need. And then we get the bit where she comes out of the tomb.
She drops
some,
it in the...
Some things are not meant to be found. Which is literally the line that's been repeated to her about 8 times through the film and is the only character...
She lost things are meant to be found.
So it's one of the first lines of the film. Some things are not meant to be found. That was the guy on the boat.
Yeah, she goes, then everything lost is meant to be
found. And then, literally everyone's saying it. Maybe not look for this fucking thing.
Yeah, that's her entire character.
So, hang on, this is another one. In Tomb Raider 1, you guys brought out this point, which is a massive fucking gaping plot hole. If the thing controls time, the Illuminati are meant to get it, she goes a long way to helping the Illuminati get the triangle together, both parts, with the sand in the middle, for one reason or another. And at any point, she could have just been like, hang on, if I leave it a week and we all go hide, you guys are fucked, so we're fine, we just never find the triangle. Yeah. But there is a thing, she wants to see her dad again. So that makes sense in the first one, because the first one's a brilliant film. The second one, okay, at any point, she could just be like, right, let's just take the orb, go find somewhere, we'll hide out. No one gets Pandora's box. Like, let's just destroy it.
She
goes out of her way to go and get this thing in some way, shape or form.
It's weirdly like, another thing they've stolen from the first film, but it's actually the thing that was stupid.
It was
in
the least thing is why is she after the thing that was clearly going to destroy all of humanity?
Yeah.
She could just at any point go, thank God I've got the orb. Shoot it with a baller, or just throw it somewhere and go, right, everyone's lost. I can go about my life now. No one gets Pandora's box. But she like goes out of her way to get Pandora's box. Which again is anti-Tomb Raider. Like in Tomb Raider films, she's often on the hunt for something or someone else's. She's got to get there first because of...
Or she's unraveling a mystery. That's a mystery, not just like, I want thing that might make money.
Yeah.
And then by the end go, we don't need to always make money.
Yeah.
Every time it's like, how many times do you need to learn this one, Lara?
Something to lose.
So since we're pretty much at the end of this film, you know they were planning a third Tomb Raider, and the only reason it didn't happen was Angelina Jolie refused to play the character again.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I do want to say, so I didn't actually jump on it while we were doing the plot rundown, but I actually want to say something negative about the costuming in this film. Lara Croft in particular.
I think I wanted to say the same thing, but I didn't want to come across as a perv, so...
Well, that's not... I wasn't actually going to say anything pervy.
Oh, okay.
But she doesn't wear... Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, you can if you wish. But... She doesn't wear anything Lara-like.
Yeah.
All the stuff she wears throughout this film is, as you say, it's kind of Essex Chav of its era.
Mm. That's the less pervy way of saying what I was going to say. So
well, I mean, when she arrives in China and she's riding the bike, the golden bike, she's wearing a golden white, it's almost like a Japanese or Chinese baseball jacket.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Mm.
And it's like, is that very Lara Croft? Like, she's famous for the shorts and top that she wore in the first one.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to go with that, fine. Yeah, but do something that looks like it's built for tomb raiding, not for walking around outside Baz Vegas.
But to be fair, she doesn't raid any fucking tombs in this film.
Yeah.
But interestingly, so if you think... actually, it'd be interesting to look up Tomb Raider Legends, of course. her costume changes are quite a big thing. Level to level, she got different, different costumes on.
But Legend is.
I'm not going to lie. As a 14-year-old boy playing Tomb Raider Legend, the Japan level where she's got the torn evening dress, I was like, yes, please.
Yeah, and, you know, trying your hardest so that she climbs in a certain way, so that maybe the skirt would slip a certain direction. Hours.
Men are terrible.
Yeah, we are.
And this was only last week.
But hang on. So actually, we didn't talk about this on Tomb Raider 1 and the game, by the way.
Yeah.
In Tomb Raider Legends, if you collect enough trophies, you get her in a bikini.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. They've made it hard enough to get those trophies that it's a pain in the ass, and you go, I can't be bothered. I tried. And Tomb Raider, I think it's Tomb Raider 2. There is a cheat written into that PS1 game to get Tomb Raider naked.
No, is that not the... That's an infamous thing, isn't it? Because I remember in the first one, I think it was, there was a new cheat.
The first one, yes.
There was a new cheat, but if you put in the new cheat, all it does is make her do a backflip and then explode and die.
I have a copy of Tomb Raider 2 at home. It's either Tomb Raider 2 or 3 at home where the new cheat works. So,
We're all going to Harry's house tonight.
No, but I... So...
Welcome to Harryhausen.
On the surface level, okay, that's cool. On a second level, maybe it wasn't on the original game. Maybe I've got some sort of write off or something. But I think I got it genuinely from a store. But on a third note, that is a children's video game. Essentially, it's got a 16 plus rating.
Well, it's not
and
a children's video game.
Coder has written in that cheat code. Which is...
it's not unusual for...
The 90s were a different time.
it's slightly problematic, right? It's slightly problematic. We didn't bring it up on the first one, but anyway, news, everyone. The new cheat works, and I know that because I've tried the new cheat. And by the way, it's also quite underwhelming.
Of course it is.
The person who's programmed the new cheat has never seen a naked woman before.
Her boobs, in those old games, her boobs are like triangles.
But also the nudism that he makes happen, he's never seen a naked woman before. It's just like the pixels, the shape and the size of the things just don't make any sense whatsoever. You can kind of still see that she's wearing shorts and a bra over it, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I've just looked up the new cheat. Everything online still states that it's fake. And even in Tomb Raider 3, there's a new cheat on there and she just explodes.
I have a copy of Tomb Raider.
It must be a mod, I assume.
In which the new cheat works.
Interesting.
Harry's a perv.
I'm a perv, yes.
Yeah, you say that. There's a few times that video games have not appropriate content for what they're rated for. Via cheats that the programs just sort of hid in there. Naughty Dog had a SNES game. I can't remember which one. But in the beginning of the menu, it comes up, like, as the game loads in, it shows the Naughty Dog logo. If you hold a certain combination, I think it is, while that loads up, instead it shows a naked woman. And that's on the Super Nintendo.
These are making games for kids, these programmers.
Yeah. And obviously, at that point, there wasn't really an age rating board.
Yeah.
Sometimes things just get slipped by for other reasons, though. I remember Sega Touring Car on the Saturn is rated 3+, right? There's no nudity in that because it's a racing game. But I do recall, and it's funny because it's automatically the first song that plays if you don't select another one when you play the first level. There's a song called Are You Awake Out There? Or Are You Wake Up, it's called, actually. And literally, it's like a... You probably hate it because it's like... I'm not a big fan of it either. It's like a really, like, deep jungle bass dance song, right?
Love
a bit of jungle. Then it starts... And then after a little while, you get this little ditty go... And then this voice song which just goes... Are you fucking awake out there? The song is like, and it just repeats that quote over and over. And I'm like, so it's got rated 3+. Did they just play it with the sound off? Like, how did that get through?
Love the 90s.
So, that is Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life.
Yes.
Harry, would you recommend that people watch this movie?
I recommend that the movie be burnt and shoved into a cupboard and actually... Some things lost were not meant to be found. There you go. And then fucking words of Lara's stupid accent herself.
Nicely summed up. I originally, when we started, was going to recommend this to people as a turn off your brain, just enjoy it film. And this talk has actually convinced me that this is garbage. So I'm not going to recommend this.
So it's a full not recommend.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm still going to do a half recommend.
Mm-hmm.
My reason for half recommend is... Oh, actually, should I?
It's not a Tomb Raider film.
It's
That's
not a
the
Tomb
problem.
Raider, yeah.
Don't do it, mate.
That's the
Don't
here's the thing. I wasn't going to recommend it to Tomb Raider fans. I was going to recommend it if you just wanted to switch your brain off movie way that you were. But actually, you're right. Like, as the more we've talked about it, the less interested I am in ever seeing it again.
Yeah.
Though I still hold to the fact that I reckon if we all of us watch this in like 10 years' time, it'd be like watching it for the first time again, because it's so black. Yeah, it's one of those films that you can watch multiple times for the first time. So maybe in that sense, it would be recommendable. But actually, no, I think I'm gonna join in the posse here and go not recommend.
My work here is done.
There you go, everyone. That is Lara Croft Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life. It's a not recommend all round from us. Many thanks to Henry McElroy for being a guest again.
You're most welcome.
Can we just verify the worst lines before we go?
Yeah, go ahead.
What were the worst lines? Because you suggested a couple. There was the first line in the movie.
The opening line of the movie. Hello, boys. You're all wet.
Hello, boys. You're all wet.
Yep. And then there was one we were going to talk about with... We mentioned it earlier.
I mean, there was the traitor one.
The traitor one, yeah.
That, gentlemen, is the sound of a traitor dying.
Does the sound of a traitor dying?
Yes. There's that. I'd like
Jesus
those two.
Jesus Christ.
That's it. We're done. Hopefully we'll get Harry back sometime for VGMP.
I'd love that.
Maybe for a bit of Tekken.
Hello. Love Tekken.
We're doing a Tekken film this season.
We're doing
we?
Tekken 2010 if you want to join us for that one.
No, I'd love that. And I've not seen the film, so that's exciting.
There you go.
Exactly. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please do check out our other shows, Second Take Cinema and Haunted the Audio Drama, on all good podcasting apps. If you'd like to weigh in on what your thoughts on Lara Croft Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life are, feel free to email us at info.impalafilms@gmail.com. Do you think this stacks up against the first film? Do you prefer the Alicia Vikander film? So far, I've not heard anyone who does.
Nope.
But maybe they're out there.
This is better than the Vikander
We had a
film.
Guy message us the other day telling us that he hates the fact that we don't talk about Call of Duty enough.
There isn't a movie for Call of
yeah,
Duty.
Yeah, but he was still angry, wasn't he?
Tricky.
He was like, why don't you recommend Call of Duty
Tell
enough?
Say what, mate? Make a Call of Duty film and then we'll do that. How
I
about
don't
that? You
see, don't tell him that. I don't want to see a Call of Duty film. Fucking hell, Jesus Christ. That might be when I officially quit the show, actually. if there's a Call of Duty, I'm going to write that in my contract. When they make a Call of Duty film, I'm done. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Please like, share, subscribe, etc., etc. All the bullshit that people always ask you to do on the internet. And we will see you next time.
Goodbye. Thank you very much. Goodbye, everyone.
Game over, yeah. Cyberpunk Studios.